Happy Wednesday, everybody. Thank you so much, as always, for downloading or streaming the Be Our Guest podcast. So glad you're here because Scott joins me today and we tackle your great listener questions. We get a great question from Len out in Maryland about the two new tours that you can book out at Disneyland and what to expect if you might want to check out the trains and maybe a little behind the scenes for Main Street USA out at Disneyland. Sounds like a lot of fun to me. Also, a question about training for the Wine and Dine Half Marathon while you're celebrating Halloween on the Disney Wish. We give some ideas there. Also, celebrating your 40th birthday at Walt Disney World Over the Princess Half Marathon weekend for a guest or a listener who's been to Walt Disney World many, many times, grew up as a DVC family. So we give some thoughts there. And Scott talks about his upcoming Thanksgiving plans at Walt Disney World and how he really wants to stay at Fort Wilderness in one of those new wilderness cabins. So we have a discussion there as well. This and much more coming your way on today's show. Don't forget today's podcast, always brought to you by the Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Disney adventure for no additional cost to you. You know the details. They're all over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. That one extra click does support everything we do throughout the year. BeOurGuestPodcast.com/Amazon. And a huge thank you to our Patreon supporters. You guys make all these shows possible, and I cannot thank you enough for that. If you'd like to support us, we'd love to have you. It's just $5 a month, and it really does support everything we do. You're also going to get a bonus show every week. It's called Mike in the Midwest. So if you can, come over, support us, patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast.
Ready to take a trip to the world? You found the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. This is where your memories come front and center on our podcast stage.
Welcome to episode 2475 of the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. I'm your host, Mike Rallman from BeOurGuestPodcast.com and one of the senior agents over at the Magic for Less Travel. Happy Wednesday to you. Thank you for joining us here on the show today. It's a midweek break, and we've got something just a little bit different for you today because the ladies are MIA. They are out of town, so it is a Mike and Scott takeover for your listener questions. We are going to have a good time today. Who knows where this show will go? We'll talk a little Walt Disney World, a little Disneyland, and some cruise line coming your way today. We're going to have some fun. So thanks to everybody who's joining us on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, and Instagram. And maybe somebody's on Twitch. That's Scott's hangout where he watches all the poker players, I think. I don't know what that's all about. I think there's where they stream video games, all this. I mean, we're there. We'll be wherever you want to watch. We're going to be there. But we're going to have a good time over the next 40 minutes or so. So joining me today from up in East Lansing, Michigan, your friend and mine, hashtag Scotty G. What's up, Scott?
Happy Wednesday, Mike. So no ladies today. So that we could get in trouble today, right? Like, they kind of keep us in check a lot. So we'll need those people in the chat to, like, keep us on direction today. But it is no surprise to anyone. We record maybe, like, a day or two early. So the day of the recording, got to give a shout-out to this wonderful Earth that we live on. Happy Earth Day. And it's Animal Kingdom's anniversary, one of the best theme parks in the world. So happy 26th anniversary, I think, for Animal Kingdom. I think last year it was the 25th. So very cool. Always fun. Like, I like to be there a lot on Earth Day. It just didn't happen this year, but always a good time at Animal Kingdom, especially on Earth Day.
And your daughter was quite the celebrity one year on the Disney Parks blog for Earth Day, correct?
She was. It was the 15th anniversary. It was kind of like when the Parks blog were, like, starting their thing, you know, like, it was kind of new for them. And yeah, they saw her in this cute Pocahontas dress. We're just kind of walking by the Tree of Life, and they're like, "Hey, can we get a photo of her for our Parks blog?" Like, I had to, like, sign something. That's what I mean. Like, I feel like it was very new. Like, I don't know if they really go in that detail anymore, but it was super cool. It was just a fun celebration, and I was there for the 20th. I missed last year's 25th celebration, but good news is I had someone on the ground be able to get me some of that awesome merchandise that I like. And then, funny enough, when we were there for the podcast cruise, they still had all that merchandise there. But yeah, that's how it goes. But it's all good, though, right? I mean, they're not going to just ship the merchandise, right? Like, you know, Disney, they do 2-year-long celebrations for things. You can probably still find 25th anniversary stuff there today.
I'm sure you can. Probably. I mean, they probably still have 50th hoodies.
Probably. Like those, like, those like the Mizzou colored one.
Yeah. I still have one up in the closet. I still wear it occasionally. Okay. So let's hop in, answer some questions. We have some good ones. And you know what Earth Day means? Every year. That means it's time to start talking about Mickey's Not So Scary Halloween Party. That's kind of the trigger, right? I mean, yeah. It's Earth Day, and that means it's time to get ready to talk about miniature Three Musketeers bars, the little ghosts and goblins, and boo to you. That's exactly what it means.
Halloween's only 6 months and a week away, so we might as well start talking about it. Yeah.
Well, don't we have, over the past few years, didn't they do that halfway to Halloween kind of celebration Disney does?
That's what they've done the last 2 years. You're absolutely right. And that's kind of how they announced what those dates are. So it's got to be coming, right, Mike?
Did that come during, was that like introduced during COVID? Like as kind of a way to keep people engaged? Is that something that happened during I can't remember. Was that like a parks closed thing?
Maybe.
Like,
yeah.
That was cool idea. Anyway, Disney in Zone over on Instagram, which we appreciate folks tuning in as we record live. And we're a little bit early today, which, early bird gets a worm. And Taco Bell going early tonight. So happy Monday. She says, I know it's April, but Mickey's Not So Scary. When are we going to get more info? So the reason I put this on tape for you today is that when we do this, we make things happen. So you're welcome. The tickets are probably on sale by now. No, they're probably not on sale by now, but I bet you an announcement is imminent at this point. I would say that we're going to get a date for on sale tickets here in the next week. And of course, we know that usually what happens is resort guests will get a little bit of a jump on the general public, but the dates don't tend to sell out except for the first date, and that won't sell out immediately, and Halloween itself. And you still have a little bit of a buffer even on those two dates for a little while. You don't have to freak out about this. That's kind of my advice. It's probably not going to sell out immediately. You're going to have some time, but if you're going on the first date, because the social media influencers are going to try to snarf those all up. And then, of course, Halloween, people like to be there for the day. But other than that, you got a little bit of time. So, Scott, what you got going
on? And that doesn't mean those other ones are ever going to sell out because they will, for sure. But yeah, like right off the gate, you're absolutely right. And yeah, I mean, looking into that crystal ball like we do here in the BRGS podcast studios, like I feel like it is going to be within this week. It's just the halfway to Halloween thing we were just talking about seems to be a new trend for Walt Disney World. So, I look forward to some dates. The pricing, Mike, we talk about not so scary. I think the pricing will be scary. Like, have we gotten to the 200 price point for one of these tickets yet? If not, like, we're really close, I think.
I want to say we were right there for Halloween last year. Because that's always going to be your most expensive ticket. The Halloween, the party itself. Let me ask you, I mean, this is kind of the question we get every year. Do you prefer, if you're down there for both celebrations, you prefer Halloween party to Christmas party? Or which party do you think is better for bang for the buck, same cost?
It's so hard because I love both. Both have a great parade. Both have a great fireworks show. Both have great entertainment value. But I will tell you, just in recent years, I've been into the Christmas party more for some reason. And I think because I just care more about Christmas. Christmas is my jam. You know, you're wrapping up the year. You got family together, you got all the songs, you know, and all that. And I think just going to the Christmas party, like in November, just like sparks my excitement for Christmas, basically. Where Halloween, like if I go in August or September, is that really sparking my interest for Halloween? Like it doesn't like hit as hard for me, you know what I mean? So both are fantastic, but I'm leaning towards Christmas. How about you, Mike?
It is an interesting thing because if you go, so here's what I think about it. Like for the Christmas party, you get most of the Christmas party stuff the week after Christmas. So say you have a trip that you're there during that week from Christmas to New Year's. Say you're there from like the 25th to the 30th, which is madhouse. But that's when we used to always go because we were teachers and that's when we were off school. And it's fine as long as you get up early and, you know, you just know it's going to be busy, but you rope drop and have strategies. They're going to have that Christmas parade during regular park hours that you paid for with the hard ticket. You don't get the cookies, you don't get the hot cocoa, but you can buy that stuff. You can supplement it. So you get that stuff. You get the parade that you pay for. You get some of those things included in your park day.
They do the fireworks too, I want to say.
They do the fireworks. Yeah, they do the fireworks. So you don't get those like in the general public with the Boo to You parade. And you can't, there's no other way to get to the trick-or-treating. So I think that makes the Halloween party a little bit more unique and a little bit more like you know, you have to pay to get that experience. And plus, I just think, you know, you walk away. I mean, not that you're trying to get $5 or 5 pounds worth of candy and what it costs. Like, you're trying to get your money back in candy. But I mean, cookies versus candy, you are getting kind of more value. And people tend to, like, Catherine right now on YouTube is watching. The Booty You Parade is just revered. I think it's even more. I prefer the Christmas Parade because I like the toy soldiers, and I'm more of a Christmas guy myself. But people love, like, the Gravediggers and all that stuff. So I think the Booty You Parade maybe has a slight edge, but you really can't go wrong with either.
Yeah, both are fantastic. I love attending both of them. And I just hate the fact that you asked me, like, which one to pick. It's hard. Christmas, because I think my mind is on Christmas because I'm going to be there this year for that time frame, and I won't for Halloween, unfortunately. But yeah, you can't go wrong with either. That's really the ultimate answer.
One real quick too, you're heading down for Thanksgiving, and so this comes out on Wednesday and we're recording on Monday, so in this day in between on Tuesday, you're trying to get, hopefully because you're DVC, trying to get a cabin at the seven month mark, one of these new cabins, because yeah, you can buy the old ones on Facebook Marketplace apparently, 50 grand. not that I have a trailer big enough to go down and swing one up. But if you go down, I mean, that we were talking in the pre-show, like, that's a pretty cool idea. I mean, Thanksgiving is a great time to just kind of do more resort time and hang out. And I mean, a cabin offers that. And you said you kind of have Old Key West as a backup, another great place to kind of just hang out and, you know, not really focus on the theme parks quite as much over Thanksgiving and have some time in a villa or experience like that.
Yeah, I think so too. And like, I know there's a lot of, not controversy, but a lot of conversation, right, about those new cabins and how they're remodeled. And I'm in between on it. Like, I like how it's fresh and new. Like, it's got this new look design, but I kind of wish it had the old feel a little bit too, because it doesn't really spell out a cabin.
I'm with you.
When you kind of look at it, like, that's not my visual of a cabin, but I think they're going to be super nice is the thing. I think they're going to be really great. Research, right, Mike? We got to research it. We got to see what these new cabins are about. Plus, it's the one resort we haven't stayed at. Like, we haven't, like, really stayed at Fort Wilderness proper before. So mark off that bucket list of staying at all the Walt Disney World resorts. So I think it's a win-win-win for us to stay there if we can get in, for sure.
I hope you do, because I'd like to hear it. Because, again, you know, I'm not poo-pooing them. I do like aesthetically the older look. But, again, everybody knows me over the 16 years of the show. I'm like a retro guy, and I like the 70s look. I'm not a big fan of change generally, but – and these are definitely a different look. I mean, they kind of look like something you'd find almost like an updated mobile home park around here, like an upscale mobile home park or something. But I know they're going to be like super nice on the inside, and you're going to go inside and you're going to be wow. Like, if I went on a tour, I'd be like, whoa, this is probably nicer than my house on the inside. So you would like it. Now, I guarantee. So I really want you to, the amenities will probably knock your socks off. Right. So I want you to have that experience. I'm curious.
Yeah, I'm totally excited to do it. And like, it'd just be cool to hang out at the fort. Like, we'd probably do hoop-de-doo. I mean, you have to do hoop-de-doo.
And you have to you're going to get a golf cart, right? You have to get a golf cart.
Yeah. That's 100%. Funny. We'll talk about this on Friday's episode, how we went to hoop-de-doo, and we're talking about this trip and how we might want to look at this option. And we both looked at each other like, we have to get a golf
100%.
Cart. Like, I feel like it's against the law.
Yeah. If you stay there and you don't get a golf cart, dude, I'm not even talking to you. Yeah. You got to get one.
But like, that's a pool. Like, it's kind of like for research in a way though, Mike, as funny as that sounds. Cause like, if someone asked me a question about the pool at Fort Wilderness, I got nothing. I can't talk about that, but you know, we go there, we do some research, we can come back and share some feedback for the show, because I saw the pool driving by in the bus. I know nothing about it, but it looked really awesome. Have you really explored that area outside of like looking at like the lights, you know, on the trailers and stuff like that? Like, cause I haven't personally.
I mean, I'll be honest. Like, I've never stayed there cause my wife will not stay there. And the reason is, and I've wanted to stay at the cabins, but she says she will not stay at a place that doesn't have a food court. Hmm. And cause she's
awesome. Like Trails End, like
I know, but she says she's kind of a resort snob. And you know, she says she works too hard all year to not get what she wants when she goes on her like vacation for the year. So I'm like, that's cool. That's whatever. Fair. I mean, but because you know, she doesn't, we used to go camping every once in a while around here. We do what we call float trips where they drop us off like in an old school bus. We'd float like 10 miles down the river to our campsite and camp for the night. That was when we were way, way younger and slept on the ground. We don't do that anymore either. But Yeah, I mean, I've spent, like, we used to say Wilderness Lodge. That was our compromise, and that worked out for her. So every morning I get up super early and run that path over to Fort Wilderness, and I get my miles in running all the loops over in Fort Wilderness, and I loved it over there. It's so cool. Like, it's just awesome, and I would love to stay there because it is. It's like Old Key West. It's like its own little community. It's like it's self-contained. It's got everything you need right there. It's like almost like people live there, only kind of very rustic.
It so feels like that for sure. Yeah.
It's like its own
from
little
what I've
thing.
Seen too.
Yeah, it's isolated. And like that,
I'm not an outdoorsy camping kind of person, but I'm just intrigued by it. It's just the beauty of Walt Disney World that like they cater to these people that loved like camping, you know? And like I have coworkers that camp in Michigan all the time because there's so many great campsites, and I tell them like you should venture out and go to Walt Disney World. It'd be a really cool thing to say. I think I would personally think if I was a camper that like, hey, I camped at Walt Disney World. Like I just think it's neat, and so many people do it too. It's so cool.
Yeah, I'd like to get your thought on that because you're not like the big, you know, camper guy, and it'd be cool to get your perspective on. Okay, so we got Simon with a question. By the way, Simon was our guest on Monday's show, and we've gotten so much positive feedback from Simon was awesome. But let me just tell you, Sully, his son, is getting all the love. I'm just saying, Sully is like a rock star of rock stars. So shout out Sully over in the UK. He conquered Cosmic Rewind after doing Mickey's List. I think they found the shoe. I'm pretty sure they found them. I don't even know if they found the Magic Band, but they got a card, and it was an awesome show. So thanks to Simon. He stayed up super late to record that show. Thanks for all the kind words about the podcast. But Simon says, so we're planning.
Simon says.
Oh, that's so good.
I was going to try to drop that in there, but you did it unnaturally. It was awesome. Actually, naturally.
I just caught myself. Take two steps back. See, I used to teach elementary school, man. That was so good. Anyway.
That was funny.
Oh, good one again. Here we go. We're planning our trip for 2025. So we loved Pop last time, as you know. But for our next trip, we might stay at Art of Animation, bump it up a little bit, or Caribbean Beach. Or should we stick with Pop? This is kind of that question, right? They had a great... Now, again, they stayed... I don't think you got a chance to catch the show yet because we just came out and we're recording. But they stayed over 2 weeks at Pop. So this is not a weekend. This is not a weekend.
Holiday.
They're from the UK, right? This is a fortnight. This is a holiday. It's a holiday. They're British. Okay, so this is a commitment. This is where I think maybe a split stay would come in, but they have these long packages with all these great incentives. So maybe you don't want to bust this up because sometimes that can mess up your package where you don't get all the incentives for the length of the trip. So let's just say one package, one stay at one place. Would you stick with Pop Century? And they were talking, they really do like Pop Century. We kind of raved about it in the show. Maybe go over to Art of Animation because similar amenities, very comfortable feel, Hourglass Lake, same type rooms. Do you bump up to Caribbean Beach, pay a little bit extra? What do you say to Simon in this?
That's tough. I will tell you, unless there's like some tie with the family to some of those areas at Art of Animation, like the Lion King and Cars, or Little Mermaid, I would rule that one out. Because it's going to feel very similar to Pop. And like, personally, I just think Pop is better.
I'm with you.
The rooms that aren't an animation, like the, unless they're looking for like a suite type room, if they're looking at the Little Mermaid rooms, like that would be a no for me. I think you'd enjoy your time better at Pop. But I said bump it up a little, you know? Try Caribbean Beach. That's where my family's first visit was. We just spent some time over there over New Year's. Like, I love Caribbean Beach. I love the feel and look at that resort. And you still have the Skyliner. It sounds like the Skyliner is very important to Simon and his family because that's the area that they're looking at. But I don't know, Mike. I think get a different feel. Try Caribbean Beach. You can still skyline over the Pop if you want to go to the food court and see some of the sights over there. But I'm 100% in on Caribbean Beach here.
I'm 100% with you. Go Caribbean Beach. Get a new experience. You're on the Skyliner. You can go back to Pop Century, tour it, have dinner there a couple nights, walk around. I mean, get, you know, like, oh, yeah, we missed, you know, going to everything Pop. Go there, you know, make some more memories there. But it's fun to have new experiences. And there's new updated rooms at Caribbean Beach. You're going to have, you know, a food court that's a little bit more expansive. The kids will enjoy because your kids are the right age. You got a slide. That pirate pool is amazing. You'll have a quiet pool. You'll have a quiet pool right outside of your building, whether you're in Aruba, Jamaica, Martinique, wherever you are. and it's just you have
one. You can check out the Riviera too. You can go to Primo Piatto over there too. Like they have some great options for you to explore.
And when you're going to the parks, one less hop on the Skyliner. You have that one less stop. You don't have to jump in the secondary line.
You are the hub, which is huge. That's a huge benefit for real.
Yeah. So. Lisa says, I think Caribbean Beach's ambiance would be cool for somebody not from the U.S. Because again, I was talking to Simon. He says it is true. It rains there a ton. So you know what I'm saying? Little, you know, palm trees and sunny skies.
Pretty sweet. And I think Simon is a runner. I want to say, like, I saw him on his Instagram. Like, he just did a half marathon or something. So congratulations to him. Absolutely. I think that's who I saw that posted that. And I know you got a great running track, Hourglass Lake. I love running that loop. I love running Caribbean Beach too.
Me too.
So many like cool areas you can see. You see the Riviera and all that. So I think that's the one, Mike. I think we settled it.
Caribbean Beach. It's the poor man's Polynesian. No, just kidding. It's not. That's what I say, though.
I will say, like, I would love to see some room. I would love to see some room refurbishments at Caribbean Beach. So I'm not going to give it, like, I mean, I got to be critical a little bit here. And like those
they rooms have refurbed a lot of them, though.
Those Little Mermaid ones, yeah. They're or nice. The ones like where the old pirate rooms are really nice, yes. But
yeah, but they're bringing like those around now.
Yeah. And so hopefully by 2025, maybe when he goes there, or there could be construction maybe while they're working on it. Who knows? I mean, it's hard to know like what's going to happen next year for Walt Disney World, but just kind of be aware of that. And if they do have the new rooms, and that's even more jackpot right there just to stay there.
Yeah. They're refurbing all the rooms. So they're getting there. Okay. So we got a question from JT in Nashville. He says, we're going on a cruise the week of Halloween. I've not been on a cruise since I was 8, and we're super excited to go on the Wish. That being said, I'm also running the Wine and Dine Half Marathon 3 days after the cruise ends. I wanted to know if you have any tips for training on a cruise the week before the half. Here's the deal. I was thinking, because I read this one earlier today. One thing is, so the Wish is, I hate to say this, but the Wish is the worst cruise ship of the fleet to train for running because, and this drove me nuts, it's the only ship in the fleet right now that doesn't have the track that goes all the way around because it's got like steps where you got to go up and down. Like the track doesn't go continuously around. The other four ships, you can go all the way around on one of the decks. It's got a running or walking path. That drove me crazy on the podcast cruise, but I solved it because there's a great gym that opens at 6 a.m. You can go up and get on the treadmills. If you're a treadmill person, problem solved. That's what I did. But here's the other thing. You said that you're running your half marathon 3 days after the cruise ends. Here's my saying. The hay's in the barn at that point. You're good. If you've been training, you're going to be good for the half marathon. Basically, even if you don't run or do a long run right before you get on the ship, if it's a four-day cruise, the best thing you can do is probably just do some walking during the cruise and walk do some light runs, short runs on the treadmill, nothing long. And just walk the path and just walk up and down those stairs on the Wish, on the walking path, and enjoy it and save your legs. And you know what? The running gods are going to thank you, and you're going to be faster when you run that half marathon because you're going to have saved your legs unintentionally. That's what I say as somebody that runs. But Scott, any thoughts for JT?
We're like the same person today with all these answers. Yeah, I was just going to say the same thing about the running track and the treadmill. And like, but yeah, you're good at that point. I mean, people taper 2 to 3 weeks before like the big race. So I would just say like, I mean, with a cruise, like I just like when Jimmy, the cruise director on the Dream back in the day used to say, you see it, you eat it. Yeah.
So, like, I thought that was a Royal cruise I did, but that wasn't Disney cruise. Eat it.
You see it, you eat it. So like, just be kind of cautious of that. Like you don't want to go too crazy, but I definitely want you to enjoy the cruise, JT, because like, that, I mean, you got to take advantage of all those awesome options on the cruise line. So just don't overdo it a little bit. But like Mike said, get a little like jog on the treadmill, a little walking. You can walk on the ship too, for sure. And if you're on the Wish, you're probably going to Castaway.
Guessing. You could run there.
So you can do the Castaway 5K, or if you wanted to go longer, you can do that loop through the jungle, as we like to call it, 3 or 4 times if you want to. It's just going to be super hot. But you can stretch out the legs a little bit at Castaway too, I'd say.
He's going in October. I mean, we run that sucker in July. We are insane. Yeah. How many times have we run that 5K on Castaway Key in July?
I mean, well, we've done a lot of double dips in July. So
We did it like 2 days in a row. We're insane.
So at least a half dozen times we've done it in July. Yeah.
Oh man. Okay.
So, October will be a little bit.
It'll better, be hot, but it won't be hotter than July. And we
you'll have the water stops there too, so it's actually kind of nice. You can stop for water. Yeah. It'll be a pretty good training run, I think. If you're just going to be running in a lot of loops, and on that tarmac too. Or,
well, you know what? It's going to get you totally ready for the Wine and Dine half marathon because it's going to be almost exactly the same like conditions. Yep. I mean, except it'll be earlier for the Wine and Dine because it'll be dark. No. Yeah, I was thinking it was a night race. I'm old.
I wish
it was I'm so old. I remember when the Wine and Dine was at night. Oh my God.
That's going to be an awesome trip, though. You do the cruise. You do the Run Disney race, and then you finish it off with the, assuming that you're going to go to the Epcot party after the half marathon. That's gonna be a really fun week.
Man, living life. JT in Nashville, you got it going on. All right, Lynn out in Maryland, the Sparty logo says, I've seen news that two tours are returning to Disneyland. Yes, we posted about that over in the clubhouse. Over in the Disneyland channel, the Cultivating the Magic Tour and the Disneyland Railroad Guided Tour. They'll be available when we visit Disneyland in June. Do you have any experience with either of these tours? What are your thoughts? I've not done either of these tours. Scott, you're nodding your head. You have not.
I've not done a Disneyland tour. I've only done like a couple tours because a lot of the tours need, and we'll talk about this on Friday, actually. There's like age restrictions. Like you got to be like 16 or older. So with my daughter turning 16 last year, we're starting to dip into the tours a little bit, but we have not done those. Both sound great. What was it? Like the train one, I think, was the one that kind of interested me. The Disneyland Railroad Guided Tour sounds really interesting to me.
So I have done most of the tours at Walt Disney World. Now, I've not done them at Disneyland because, again, I've only gone since 22. But I will tell you, I have done the, it was called the Behind the Steam Trains Tour at the Magic Kingdom. That was a great tour, and I'm sure it's basically the same tour out at Disneyland. It was super cool because you got to get up close and like with the locomotives, you got to go back into the roundhouse at the Magic Kingdom where they store the monorails, and they took you back behind the Magic Kingdom because there's like a switchback kind of back behind Tomorrowland, and you got to ride. Cool. They took you to ride the train like how they do in the morning, and they show you actually this part of the track where it takes you off kind of. There's a switch back there that takes you away from the Magic Kingdom back to the roundhouse. And what you see on the sides of the tracks are all these shells from the night before from the fireworks shows where they land. All these like they almost look like corn, like coconut husks. And, you know, I was like, what is that? And because of the shells from last night's wishes or whatever it was back in the day. And I just
hope Mickey didn't hit that track switch back there.
Well, yeah, seriously, it was about to be. That was way before Mickey's Runaway Railroad, but it was cool. But, you know, it was well worth it. And I've done, like, you know, Marceline to the Magic Kingdom, Behind the Keys, and this was one of my favorites. And they give you a little trinket, you know, just like you get with, you know, Keys to the Kingdom, you get a trinket. But it's a super cool tour if you want. And they give you a lot of Walt history because of the history of the trains. But it's cool because, I mean, you get to get up inside a locomotive and get a picture. And I mean, you don't get to, like, honk the
horn. See, I'd like to see these coming back to Walt Disney World because there's very few tours that are available right now at Walt Disney World. And I'd love to see that come back.
It was a cool one. Awesome. Yeah, because, I mean, the engineers are there, right? And they're kind of pointing stuff out. And, I mean, some of these engineers have been there forever. And Len says, according to the description, you get to ride in Walt's private car as part of the Disneyland tour. Yeah, I mean, when you get to do that kind of stuff, absolutely. If you can get in there, do it. I mean, these are the kind of exclusive things as a Disney fan. When you get the opportunity, take it, you know, especially at Disneyland. This is even better than at World because this is where it all started. You know what I'm saying? Like this is the what I got to do, but better, you know, so I would totally go for it.
And I don't necessarily want to go down this rabbit hole, but like Disneyland's getting these two tours coming back. Like it seems like Disneyland is getting a lot more stuff than World lately. I don't know if you've like noticed that. And a lot of it is like with the popcorn buckets and like some merchandise and stuff like that. But I feel like Disneyland is getting a whole lot of love lately. Just something I've observed. I don't know if you've seen the same thing, Mike, or not.
Maybe. I mean, Disneyland is, again, it's two parks. It's more dense. So maybe we're just seeing it more spread out over things at World. I mean, you got Keys to the Kingdom going on. You got the tours at Animal Kingdom that have, you know, been going on for a while.
I'm just not talking about tours either. I'm just talking about merch. In general, a lot of new stuff lately. It seems like it's for Disneyland, but
yeah, I don't know. We'll Yeah, we'll see. That's good. Give us some feedback. I mean, maybe I haven't noticed it. But I will be watching now. That's a good point. All right, we have a question.
I'll point it out to you on Discord when I see it.
Let me know. Yeah, definitely. Yeah. All right, we got a question. 40th birthday at Princess. Hey, BOGP crew. I'll be celebrating my 40th birthday next year at Disney's Princess Weekend during doing the Fairy Tale Challenge and staying a few days after that since I haven't done Disney World for a non-running weekend for a while. I'm turning 40 in January, and after the last couple of years where I haven't really done anything besides work, I want to truly celebrate. I'm looking for things I haven't done yet, and here's the challenge. I'm going to Walt Disney World since 1995 when I was 10. I was even there for a trip with the birthday cake castle. My parents are former DVC members, and we would go frequently to Walt Disney World when I was in high school and college. I did Keys to the Kingdom when I was 15, and I've been looking at other behind-the-scenes stuff, like the elephant tour and the rhinos tour at the Animal Kingdom. Are there other things I should look at? Thanks, Leslie. So what do you think for Leslie? She's going for a 40th birthday party, but she wants kind of...
We're talking about those tours. I think one tour I think is great is the behind-the-scenes tour. If you love Living with the Land or like old retro like Epcot, I think it's really affordable too. I don't want to be wrong here, but I think it's like $40 or something, maybe. Like,
man, it used to be like $10. I can't believe it's even $40.
That's what I'm saying. It might not even be that much. But I think it's a great tour. So I think if you're talking for touring stuff, like that's a great one because it's classic Epcot. And if you've been going since 1995, you've definitely seen Living with the Land. So I think that'd be a great tour to do for your birthday. And Mike's obvious some obvious ones is you gotta have a big birthday meal celebration, yep, somewhere like super nice. Maybe with some fireworks. I'm thinking like a Narcoozies or a California Grill. Just a great way to celebrate the Fairy Tale Challenge and turning 40 years old, having this great big celebration. I just love doing something huge. Maybe even like a dessert party at Magic Kingdom too could be a nice alternative as well.
Yeah, I was thinking dessert party if you're like, because I don't know if she's solo or going with friends. If she's solo, a dessert party is a great solo celebration because you can do that easily. If you are having friends, family joining you, a fireworks cruise, book that early, you know, as soon as you can. Fireworks cruises are fun because you've seen these fireworks shows many, many times. You're a huge Disney fan. You've grown up at this place, you know, DVC family, so forth. But it's a different perspective. You know, you're seeing it out on the water. You have this VIP feel to it. You know, people are like, who's that on that pontoon boat? And that's a cool experience. So, that's something you pair with a meal. Like if you're doing it for the Magic Kingdom fireworks show, Narcoozies, or, you know, if you're an Ohana fan, go to the Polynesian. It doesn't have to be like super fancy. You know, just pick your favorite meal, Kona, or, you know, maybe Steakhouse 71 or, you know, whatever, California Grill. Or, you know, if you're going to do it for over at Epcot, you know, pair it with whatever. You got a bajillion choices over there, you know, Boardwalk, Yacht Club, Beach Club, anything in Epcot. Yeah. And
I'd say do something cool for the race, too, like a cool outfit that, like, showcases, like, your birthday. Because, like, I know, like, Carissa, Pelkey, Riley, all of them will, like, just, like, eat that up if they see you, like, with this cool, like, birthday celebration outfit. You'll get a lot of attention from the race announcers, from spectators, from people running the race too. So I think that'd be kind of cool too. Like I'm celebrating my 40th birthday kind of shirt or something to that effect while you're doing the race too.
How about Pelkey having his own running team all of a sudden?
Dude, I got to get in on that. Like, and shout out to John Pelkey. I don't know if he listens to the BR Guest podcast. That'd be awesome if he did.
That right, would Mike? Be awesome.
But,
yeah.
But was... shout out to him on his 10K.
That's right. Crushed it, man. Dude, I saw the finish line, man. He was scooting.
He was moving along. It was still dark too, so you know he got done early. It was still dark out.
Yeah, well, that's a good point. Yeah, that's a good point. When it's dark at the end of a 10K, you were motivating and moving.
I've only done that once or twice. And it's usually wine and dine because it's like it gets darker. I mean, it doesn't get as light as early.
Yeah, I mean, think about it. I mean, we'd love to see that, right? I mean, how many times has he pushed us through his motivational talks, you know, yeah, before races and he gets us in, you know, down the chute many times he's over at the finish line. And now to see him, you know, he always joked about he was never going to do it. And it was a 5K, now it's 10K. All right, 26.2, let's go.
As crazy as it sounds, if I would have known that, I would have actually flown down and like cheered for that. But that would have been like kind of cool.
I was excited.
As you said, he's done so much for us.
100%. Yeah, I got to rock one of those hats. I need to get one of the hats and be a part of his crew because I'm proud of him. The same, just like you said, it's super inspirational. That's what I love about the whole like, you know, this whole community that we have with not just the runners, but kind of all the people who listen to podcasts and this whole like kind of online community, this like little subculture of Disney fans that we were in. Yeah, it's fun.
Super cool.
All right. Chris Young is in Spring Grove, Pennsylvania, and he says, listener question / character meet. Hey, Mike, Beard GP crew, love the show with all the tips, insight, and off the rails conversation. I just listened to the show about character meals as well as the call-in show from April 7th, where it was discussed again. I want to relay some fun experiences we had on our trip in February of 2020. My son, who was 6 while we were there, was super excited to meet Tigger. We met him 3 times during this trip, and while we were checking in at Art of Animation on our arrival day, who strolls into the lobby? Tigger. He was so excited, and that's still a great memory of our trip. Also, at Hollywood Studios, we had just finished meeting Edna Mode back in the courtyard area, and Mr. and Mrs. Incredible were just walking around meeting guests with a bit of crowd around them. Our son and 8-year-old daughter were a combination of shy and polite and were not even getting close. Mrs. Incredible noticed this and walked over to them and took their hands and just walked up and down Munisaburg Plaza for several minutes. It was awesome. We love the Incredibles. We're going in early October this year and decided to stay at the Contemporary, influenced by the Incredibles theming.
Now, wow, look at that. Talk about some influence.
I'm
there.
Saying, dude, Edna Mode said, come on, baby. Come on, darling. Stay at my place. Now, my question. We chose the Contemporary for the deluxe extended hours, the proximity to the Magic Kingdom. If we want to rope drop the Magic Kingdom and the park opens at 9 with early entry at 8:30, what time do they actually let guests into the park? And what is a good time frame to be in line for that? Same question for Epcot with the monorail. Thanks for all you guys do for the Disney community. Chris in Pennsylvania. Scott, good question for you because you've stayed at the Contemporary even during a busy time of the year, I believe Thanksgiving.
Thanksgiving time, yeah. So the question was, I love that story, by the way, the Tigger thing. Same. That was so great. The,
you
spending
love
the time, like yep. several minutes with your kids. Like that was so cool. So I loved hearing that. So the example was Magic Kingdom opens at 9:30 for yep. deluxe
entry.
Guests.
No, it's just early entry. Well, yeah. Well, that's early entry. I don't know.
Early, deluxe. Yeah. I was thinking the after hours is deluxe. Yeah. For early entry. Yeah. For all resort guests, 8:30. I would say at least a half hour. Like I would kind of go there around 8 o'clock or be there.
Same.
By security. Especially at the Magic Kingdom, you can just walk there, which is so nice. So I'd say 8 o'clock is a good time because they do start letting people get in early to start lining up. They'll even let like guests that aren't staying on site in too as well, because there's a private little section off to the side for resort guests where they have to scan their band or their media to get in. So I think 8 o'clock is good. So like 30 minutes before the early entry starts, or an hour before park opening is where what I would say.
What I would say is leave your room an hour before. So if it's
especially at Magic Kingdom, because you don't have to wait for a bus or anything.
If you're walking over with your family and it's early entry at 8:30, I'd be walking out of your room at 7:30. If you really want to be ahead of everybody, because what like Scott said, they let you into the park way early, but they're going to hold you like it. What like you can be like pointed towards Tomorrowland or towards Fantasyland, and they kind of queue you up there, and then they start scanning bands right at 8:30 to put you in. So yeah, I'd be walking.
And then sometimes you'll get scanned in. They'll scan a little early too. So that's why it's good to be in there earlier. Because then, say you're going to Space Mountain, then they'll still hold you at Space Mountain because it hasn't officially opened yet. Same for all the other parks too. Like I've done that at Epcot where they let us in early, then they scanned our bands early, and then we just waited out at Test Track for like 10 minutes before it opened officially. So earlier is better in this case. And it's fun waiting in the theme park. It's so much better than waiting in the hub than it is like at the turnstiles for sure.
What about for Epcot though, catching the monorail over? Say Epcot opens at 8:30 for resort guests, 9 o'clock normal general public opening. Yeah. Like you got to take the ride over. What would you do there?
I mean, because you were saying get out of your room like at 7:30, an hour before the entry. Yeah, or like 7:15. I mean,
yeah, 7:15.
Because at the Contemporary, you're one stop to TTC, then you just got to transfer over. So it's really not that bad, honestly. So I'd say about 7:15, 7:30.
All right. Well, let's see here. Lisa's got a little feedback because she just got back last week. They let us into Seven Dwarves at 8. but didn't let us ride until 8:30.
Okay, so they might let you in even a little earlier than that 8 o'clock we were talking about. Yeah,
good feedback, because she just got back last week. She's down in Mobile,
Alabama. But it's so nice when you're at the Contemporary.
Oh, no kidding, because you don't have to, it takes transfer, because that's the biggest wild card, right? It's at your Pop Century. You know, you're going to the Magic Kingdom. I mean, it's a crapshoot. You could be on the bus could be waiting for you. You could walk onto a bus and boom, you're going to be on that 20-minute bus ride, or you could be waiting 30 minutes for the bus.
And then we're going to talk about this on Friday's episode.
It's a crapshoot. I mean, but the Contemporary, like your feet don't fail me now, right? Just boom, you're there. Yep. No question. All right. Awesome. That's going to do it for a list of questions. You have questions, drop them to me in the inbox, mike@beourguestpodcast.com. We'll get to those next week. We love your listener questions, or just join us on Mondays around 5:30 Eastern, all the places, and just drop them in the chat and we'll get right to them. Don't forget, we have our clubhouse. We talk 24/7, 365 Disney all the time in between shows. Scott's always there. I'm there. Ricky drops in. Pam comes in occasionally as well. But you can talk with all of our listeners. It's so much fun. So just come on over to brguestpodcast.com/Discord and get in on the conversation. We have a great time over there. All of our shows brought to you by The Magic for Less Travel. We'd love to help you plan your next Disney vacation for no additional cost to you, with lots of little booking bonuses as well. Onboard credits for Disney cruises. Just check out all the details right now over at themagicforless.com. Please also use our Amazon affiliate link when you shop online. That supports the show every day, all year. Just at brguestpodcast.com/Amazon. And thank you so much for your support on Patreon. Our patrons are awesome. You're our all-stars. Thank you so much for that support. You can support us just $5 a month. That really does help us out. And when you do that, you get our bonus show every week. It's called Mike in the Midwest. So coming over this week, we'd love to have you. Patreon.com/BeOurGuestPodcast. Give this guy a follow on the social media at Epscott, E-P-S-C-O-T. I'm at BeOurGuestMike. That's Twitter, Instagram, Threads. We'd love to talk to you on the social media. And we'll be together again this Sunday night, and you'll be with us, giving us your calls. We hope, man, we had so many calls last week. We had so many people tuned in live. We just want to blow it away again this Sunday night. It's going to be so much more fun. Come on over. We'll be on Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, Twitch, everywhere. Give us a call, 7 o'clock Eastern, 6 o'clock Central this Sunday night. It's the BOGP open line, or as we like to call it, you, me, and Scotty G. So give us a call. All right, we're going to be back again on Friday, where Scott tells us all about spring break at Coronado Springs. Ready to rock with that one. And I can't wait for all the tips. All right, so until we get back together again, you guys have a great Wednesday. Stay safe, stay healthy, and we'll see you real soon.
You've been listening to the Be Our Guest Walt Disney World Trip Planning Podcast. If you have questions, comments, or would like to be a guest on the show, please visit our website at brguestpodcast.com. Thanks for listening, and we'll see you real soon.